Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call in and bring up whatever's on your mind. You can talk about what we're talking about or bring up your own new subject. It's up to you. It's Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Riley.
Sorry, Riley. Sorry about that.
Riley.
I didn't unmute you yet.
Oh, now I'm unmuted.
Sorry about
that. Riley in the studio.
And I can mute Mike, too, because it's just Riley and I tonight. The day today is November 23rd, 2023, and that means it's Thanksgiving.
Yep, Thanksgiving across the United States, where families, friends are gathering and celebrating Thanksgiving and feasting and thinking about the bounteous harvest we've had as a people, even though we don't harvest much anymore.
Yeah, I certainly didn't harvest anything, but... Oh,
I didn't either. I didn't either. But there are people around here who harvest, and
yeah. We
had some wonderful food.
We actually had chickens that were made, well, you
Not
know,
made,
raised.
But raised by Jay Noon, who's one of our hosts.
He's usually here on Thursdays, but I told him, hey, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. You're probably going to want to be with your family, right? And he's
yeah,
like, oh.
That's really important. You
he's
know?
Like, oh, yeah, you're right. My wife would probably like that.
So I'm here filling in for Jay, and his chicken was phenomenal. He raised them himself and took care of them himself.
And I bought them with Bitcoin from
yeah,
him.
Yeah, and he's teaching his kids how to connect with the animals that they eat so that they know where the animals are coming from.
Yeah, they love working with him. I get videos. I'm in a Telegram group chat with Jay Noon where he sends videos and pictures of his kids all the time, and they're always out there working. He's like, says to his little daughter, like, go open the gate, and she'll, like, open gates and let chickens run out or, you know, feed chickens, pick stuff up. Like, she's only, I think, 3 or 4. And she does a lot of work on the farm with him. And that's why I'm always saying whenever I eat any Jay Noon meat and I'm telling somebody about it, like, oh, this was raised by our friend, I'm always saying it's so much better because it's raised by little kids and Jay
yeah,
and his family.
Yeah.
And they actually love their chickens that they kill. And it just tastes better. Like, seriously, the first
it's
time...
It's raised with love and care
is.
And not like a factory farm chicken.
The first time I ever had Jay Noon's bacon, it might have been Bardo Farm. I don't remember. But the first time I ever had Free State or Raised bacon here in New Hampshire, that was when I started to like bacon. Like, before that, I didn't think I liked bacon.
Yeah, see, I love bacon, so I probably would really, really love that bacon.
Yeah, I haven't had that in a while. But... Since today was Thanksgiving, I invited Riley over, and he brought some eggnog and some stuffing.
Yep.
And we have lots of other food.
We
like
had chicken instead of turkey. Bonnie likes chicken better.
Yeah, I just don't like turkey. If somebody was going to bring turkey, that I would totally accept it. But I don't want to be, if I was going to make it, then I was just going to make a chicken. It was so good. I made it with lots of butter and lemon and sage and thyme, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And... I only mention it because that's why Riley's here with us today, and we have a story we're going to tell you guys about that's from LP.org, which is the Libertarian Party's website. And this story was written, well, the article itself was written in 2004, I almost call it like 2004 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was... It tells the story that's kind of the real story about Thanksgiving, they claim. I had never heard this, but Ian told me that it's a tradition on Free Talk Live maybe it's not been done every Thanksgiving, but he said it used to be a tradition on Free Talk Live to tell this story on Thanksgiving.
I think it's an important story to tell because so often we forget our history, so often we forget where we came from. And sometimes you need to acknowledge where you came from. It's important to acknowledge that this is where we came from. This is where we need to look to sometimes for leadership. But yet, you know, most people fall into the trap of, oh, well, our founding fathers said this, so therefore we need to keep America together.
Hmm.
No, it's about liberty. It's about personal liberty. It's about personal responsibility. And as Bonnie tells us the story, let's reflect on that.
You will definitely see in this story that It's a lesson, as the headline of the article says, the Pilgrim's Real Thanksgiving Lesson. And so it's definitely going to teach you something. And that the ultimate lesson in this lesson is that freedom is the answer and control, you know, top-down control is never the best way to do things. So let's get into it, Riley.
All right.
This is from LP.org, The Pilgrim's Real Thanksgiving Lesson. Feast and football. That's what many of us think about at Thanksgiving. Most people identify the origin of the holiday with the Pilgrims' first bountiful harvest, but few understand how the Pilgrims actually solved their chronic food shortages. And I, before Ian told me about the story, I didn't read the article yet, but Ian told me the story. I didn't know the story at all. I don't think they teach it in school.
No, they really don't talk about it much in school. They try to not talk about the real history. They just try and gloss over things.
I don't actually think I learned about Thanksgiving basically at all in school, but when my mom told me the story of Thanksgiving, we had this little booklet that was kind of a pop-up when I was a kid that was all about the first Thanksgiving. Well, they don't mention why they were so grateful to have all this food. They make it sound like, oh, they just did this every year or something, or they just felt like doing it.
Or they made a trade with the natives here.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's still involved, but basically we're going to get into it, but it's going to explain that it was kind of a fail of something like socialism, and then a correcting with freedom that ended up giving them a food surplus. So it says, many people believe that after suffering through a severe winter, the Pilgrims' food shortages were resolved the following spring when the Native Americans taught them to plant corn and a Thanksgiving celebration resulted. In fact, the Pilgrims continued to face chronic food shortages for 3 years until the harvest of 1623.
That's a long time without food.
Yeah.
They couldn't go to the grocery store, that's for sure.
Yeah. They were dying all the time, getting sick and getting cold. I don't know which state this was, Massachusetts?
It was Massachusetts, yeah. So south of us.
It says, bad weather or lack of farming knowledge did not cause the Pilgrims' shortages. Bad economic incentives did. In 1620, Plymouth Plantation was founded with a system of communal property rights. Food and supplies were held in common and then distributed based on equality and need, as determined by the plantation officials. People received the same rations whether or not they contributed to producing the food, and residents were forbidden from producing their own food, which is crazy.
It is crazy, and it sounds like they tried to live a communal lifestyle, like a biblical lifestyle or something like that.
Hmm. I actually have learned recently in a book that's about the Gospel of Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
She talks a little bit generally about early Christianity, and one thing I found really striking and cool was that they did a lot of stuff voluntarily, and it shocked the other cultures around them. They're like,
yeah,
look at these Christians. They are sharing and taking care of the poor, and, you know, they're not taking it out of basically like taxes. They're not being forced to do it. They're doing it out of the kindness of their heart for their brothers and sisters.
And that's what we should all do. It's,
right.
It should be a voluntary act, not a taxation act.
Or a act that people are using force against other people.
Right.
So, where was I? It says that plantation... Okay, sorry. People received the same rations whether or not they contributed to producing the food, and residents were forbidden from producing their own food. Governor William Bradford, in his 1647 history of Plymouth Plantation, wrote that this system was found to breed much confusion and discontent and retard much employment that would have been to their benefit and comfort. And to retard means to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that slowed down people's work ethic And if they would have just worked, it would have comforted and benefited them much. But since they didn't have their incentives, it wasn't working out for them. The problem was that young men that were most able and fit for labor did repine that they should spend their time and strength to work for other men's wives and children without any recompense. Recompense. I'm not sure how to say that word.
I think it's recompense.
Recompense. Yeah. That sounds right. Because of the poor incentives, little food was produced. Faced with potential starvation in the spring of 1623, the colony decided to implement a new economic system. Every family was assigned a private parcel of land. They could then keep all they grew for themselves, but now they alone were responsible for feeding themselves. While not a complete private property system, the move away from communal ownership had dramatic results. I wonder what exactly kept it from being completely private. Was it just that, like, the government still could control their land if they wanted to?
I'm guessing so, because maybe they thought that would be better. It's the only system they were used to.
Yeah, and their system before was definitely worse.
Yeah, they were under a king.
It says that this change, Bradford wrote, had very good success, for it made all hands very industrious, so as much more corn was planted than otherwise would have been. Giving people economic incentives changed their behavior. Once the new system of property rights was in place, the women now went willingly into the field and took their little ones with them to set corn, which before would allege weakness and inability. I wonder what that means. Like, they would be admitting that their system didn't work.
Yeah, yeah, or maybe some of the women were like, oh, we're just too tired, or some of the people are just too tired, we're too tired to work, and we should just be lazy.
Yeah, they don't want to work for other people's wives and children, yeah. I guess. Which, honestly, it's, and that may sound selfish, but I don't really blame them for it. People shouldn't have to work overtime.
People shouldn't be forced to work for someone else they don't want to work for.
Right. They should do everything they want to do for themselves and their families, and then have energy left over to help the people in need who aren't part of their families and
yep.
that they want help. It says, once the pilgrims in the Plymouth Plantation abandoned their communal economic system and adopted one with greater individual property rights, they never again faced the starvation and food shortages of the first 3 years. It was only after allowing greater property rights that they could feast without worrying that famine was just around the corner. We are direct beneficiaries of the economic lessons the pilgrims learned in 1623. Today we have a much better developed and well-defined set of property rights. Our economic system offers incentives for us in the form of prices and profits to coordinate our individual behavior for the mutual benefit of all, even those we may not personally know. It's like we were talking about yesterday, that the more people work and make profits for themselves, all it does is help everyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
Those people are able to spend at other people's businesses.
Right, and they're able to make more money for people. They're able to provide to a community of people, and that's how we work together is voluntarily.
Yep. Says, it is customary in many families to give thanks to the hands that prepared this feast during the Thanksgiving dinner blessing. And Riley started a tradition here at our house where we went around the table and said what we are thankful for in general.
Yeah, it was a nice tradition. I think it's an important tradition to have to reflect on what we're grateful for from time to time. And when you do that, we really look at our lives and realize, you know, we've come a long way. Our ancestors did not have as much as we did. I mean, think about the people who came here first, the pilgrims in the 1600s. They didn't have much. Yet, look at our lives. We have plenty.
I definitely mentioned Ian and all things Ian-related.
Right.
Riley mentioned Free Talk Live. I'm grateful for the opportunity to freely speak on the air as much as we still have that right. You don't have the right unless you fight for it. And
you have to fight for it sometimes.
Yep. If Free Talk Live goes off the air, ladies and gentlemen, who are you going to call into anytime you want to tell anyone listening on the radio airwaves what you're thinking that day?
Exactly. And Free Talk Live is unique in that way. We allow you to call in at 603-283-6160 and take control of the airwaves and tell us what you really think about whatever you want to talk about.
Yep, and there's no taboo topics or subjects that you're not allowed to bring up here on Free Talk Live. You just can't cuss and say things that are not FCC friendly. So yeah, we're thankful for all you guys listening, and we're thankful for the platform Free Talk Live that Ian created. And I just think that's a really great new tradition. So moving on, it says, it is customary in many families to give thanks to the hands that prepared this feast during the Thanksgiving dinner blessing. Perhaps we should also be thankful for the millions of other hands that helped get the dinner to the table. The grocer who sold us the turkey, in my case.
The chicken.
Yeah, the turkey.
J. Noon growing his chicken.
Yep, the J. Noon that sold us the turkey. The truck driver who delivered it to the store. And the farmer who raised it all contributed to our Thanksgiving dinner because our economic system rewards them. That's the real lesson of Thanksgiving. The economic incentives provided by private competitive markets where people are left free to make their own choices and make bountiful feasts possible. And that's a really nice story.
It is a nice story. It's a nice story to help us reflect on what we've been blessed with, really, as a group of people. I mean, we have plenty here in America. That's not to say we don't have our personal struggles and we always want more to help our lives be more comfortable. It's just sometimes it's nice to pause and reflect and say thank you.
I agree. And I think that we should read more stories like this on Free Talk Live. It may not be news, but it brings up really important lessons that maybe some people had never heard that story. And
right,
maybe,
and maybe we can take time to pause and think and say, wait, I've never thought about it this way before.
Maybe it, you know, sends home a message to them in a way that we hadn't been able to get across before with just our opinions on a news story. Like, one thing that it made me think of is the story I Pencil. It's a very, kind of like, one of the first things you'll read if you become a libertarian, and somebody's, and you're like, what should I read, like, to become a libertarian? Have you ever read that, Riley?
I have not. I probably should, but it's an interesting, from what I remember hearing about it, it's an interesting tale about how the pencil is created, how that simple instrument that we write with in math class or whatever is created.
It's going to sound silly, but that book made me cry. It just...
Wow.
That book, I love it so much because it just tells the story of how the whole world could be at peace, and the amazing, like, human nature that is involved in free trade and cooperation. It's I'm almost, like, tearing up right now. It's, and they use the pencil as just such a simple, it's almost, you don't even think about it whenever, well, you do not think about it when you're holding a pencil.
Right, you don't really think about what went into the pencil, you just think about it as a simple little object.
Yeah, you don't think about everything that went into it. Like you said, the book goes into, like, if you're the country, Joe is here, by the way.
Excellent.
The country that created the rubber is probably a whole different country in a whole other part of the world that created the wood and the metal and all, and the lead all in one device. Let me unmute you there. There you go, Joa.
Oh, thank you very much.
Joa was just in some traffic, and I guess you were out celebrating Thanksgiving, too?
Correct, yep. It was. I saw, like, several accidents on the way. It was crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's the time. It's when everyone's leaving.
Maybe, like, drinking?
Probably, I don't know.
And super full and tired?
Yeah, that happens.
Hmm. Well, I hope everybody listening is safe.
Yeah, I hope you're safe with your families and your families are all getting along and your friends are all getting along.
Yeah.
Don't call in at 603-283-6160 if you're driving, probably.
Yeah, please don't.
Good idea.
But, so we were talking, Joa, have you ever read the book I Pencil?
No.
Oh, really? It's just the story of how a one little simple object got put together.
Oh, yes, I know this concept of the story.
Yeah.
I think I get what you're saying, yeah.
And we were bringing it up because we talked about a story from LP.org. This article was written in 2004, and it tells the true story of Thanksgiving, how the reason that they were celebrating having a really great harvest is because they had been living in a communal type of setting in Massachusetts where they were like, oh, yeah, it's centrally controlled, and we'll hand out food based on equality. And
right, it failed.
That didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work because it doesn't work that way.
No.
Wrong incentives. So they switched it to basically private property and everybody works for themselves, and they did so much better. They had a feast about it.
But they were so thankful, though.
I'm sure they were if they were getting someone else's labor.
Yeah.
I think that's the beauty that we understand, is that freedom works. When you allow people to really be free to live their lives in such a way that doesn't harm you or anyone else, then it's really a mark on a society that is growing and flourishing when they realize that, hey, we got to let each other live free.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You can't force conformity.
It's simple. It really is that easy. Just let people live their life.
Yeah, yeah. I think so too. And Riley mentions, in a way that doesn't hurt others. I think the thing people get hung up on is they believe that if someone else is free, they're going to come after me.
Yeah.
Like, how am I going to keep myself safe? And I just believe that it's in human beings' nature, when they're not being oppressed and dumbed down, to be good people and not just try to hurt other people to get their way.
Basically, don't legitimize the state.
Yeah.
Don't give it a reason why it should exist.
If you approach people like they're always going to harm you, then you're going to view the world like, oh my gosh, everyone's going to harm me. I need to hide from the world. And yeah, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live like, oh my God, everyone's going to harm me. I'd really live in such a way that says, you know, I'm going to approach the world as though every person is trying to be good in some way.
I believe it.
I want to know what Cynthia thinks. Cynthia, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I just think we should be reminding people about the history of Marine Major General Smedley Butler. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote War is a Racket.
War is a Racket, yep.
Right. So I'm thinking something far more effective than hundreds of thousands of people in the street would be an ongoing campaign of two or three people politely standing where people can see it as they approach any military base, any Zionist church, all the home offices of the members of Congress, and probably a dozen other places, with just quiet, peaceful signs saying, remember Major General Smedley Butler, because most people have never heard of him.
Yeah, they really haven't.
And I've surprised when a couple of people who had were criticizing him because of his long military career. Well, sometimes you have to be in the thick of it to figure out what's really going on.
Yeah.
And he correctly identified it was the Wall Street bankers.
Makes sense.
And that group of people pushing all the wars. And that our constitutional responsibility for our military is to stay home and protect our borders. And I know that y'all are libertarians, but and I am too, somewhat. I'm in San Francisco. You have to be something here.
Like, to give the argument about the borders and as being a libertarian or anarchist type, is that I believe that, you know, bad people should be, you know, excluded from society. And I don't like the idea of an open border, like, you know, in the sense of, you know, letting all the criminals come in, but I like the idea that people have the freedom to, you know, come go in too if they're, you know, innocent people.
It's yeah, like, I don't want to be held in. What if I want to leave?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the call, Cynthia. Do you have anything else you want to bring up?
Well, I want to say that the
I'm going to put you on hold. Sorry about that. I was just asking if there was anything else, but okay, I'll talk to you on the break. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
U.S. USA news update. The U.S. Navy destroyer USS Hudner shot down several attack drones over the Red Sea that were launched from Houthi-controlled areas in Yemen yesterday morning. The ship and crew sustained no damage or injury. The Pentagon later saying the ship itself was not a target, though the drone got close enough to be of concern. The attack drone likely on its way to Israel, according to U.S. officials. A four-day ceasefire in Gaza between Israel and Hamas will likely begin tomorrow morning, a day later than originally announced. The deal appeared to hit a last-minute snag when Israel's national advisor announced a one-day delay late Wednesday. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has clarified the car explosion at the Buffalo-Canada border was not a terrorist attack. Corey Myers, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Is the phone number you can call. That is 603-283-6160. We actually have a caller still on the line, but I wanted to tell you really fast that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. BitRefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. What about paying your bills? Spritstop Finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. And thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's dash.org. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Joa.
And moving on to Cynthia in California. Cynthia, you had another topic you wanted to bring up with us. What's on your mind?
Well, I was hearing an interview of Dr. Rima Labow, L-A-I-B-O-W, who's the widow of General Stubblevine, Albert Stubblevine. You might be aware of him through the book of Men Who Stare at Goats. Hmm. He was this military intelligence, and he was kind of different.
Okay, so Goats, one of the people who were doing remote viewing?
Yes. That might have been one of the things, too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But she's a physician, and she had an international clientele. And about 20 years ago, one of the people she was seeing who was the head of state told her that it was about time for the Great Culling, meaning that they felt like 90% of the people of the planet were taking up their resources.
Okay.
And they wanted these people gone. And so she and General Stubblevine became active in alternative health and started trying to find ways to deal with this issue. He died, but she's making the assertion now that of the people being brought across the border, that there are thousands of UN troops who are not in uniform, military-aged men in fit condition, not being accompanied by families, and that they're actually United Nations troops. He says, I think the United Nations is controlled by the City of London banksters and their proxies, the Chinese Communist Party. I think this is a very serious issue, and that she might have the kind of connections to get this kind of information when you and I don't.
Is she dressed as, or I mean, are they dressed as UN, like they have something on their shirt that says UN, or?
No.
That's really weird. I wonder why they would do that.
It's an interesting story.
Do you think, UN members, like high people in UN, would be able to just get into the United States pretty easily? I don't know.
They know that down in Panama, there were United Nations paid for camps where thousands and thousands of people were gathering and then being bused up to our border. There's a lot of reporting on that now through some of the red state stations.
All right, whatever happens whenever they get here, like, is anything specifically bad happening, or are they just going and working at, like, you know, taco places and?
They're being sequestered in hotels separate from us.
Okay, why?
Forever?
Well, why would you think?
I don't have an answer to that.
I
want
to
know if it's even happening.
I think that it qualifies as a probable invasion.
But if they're invading, how come?
Done under the radar.
What would be their motivation to invade us, though?
Oh, why? I think that the British crown has always meant to take this country back over.
I believe that to a little bit of a degree.
Yeah,
but
it's an interesting idea.
The Pilgrim Society, founded in 1903, and an American version founded the next year. British Pilgrim Society actually masquerades as a dinner club. But
yes,
in fact, if you look at the people who have been members, what they're doing is they're networking in a surreptitious manner, and it includes high-level U.S. military officers who often end up in some of their subsidiaries, like the Atlantic Council, right, the Council on Foreign Relations. All of these organizations that actually do not intend to promote American sovereignty.
I totally could believe that the United Kingdom wants to take over the United States again. Honestly, that isn't a far stretch or anything to me. I'm just a little confused about, well, there are people, just regular people or military aged men or anything like that from Panama, from Central America, who are coming here not to live a better life or anything. They're coming in an invasion type level, like that many people, and then I don't see them. Like, I even lived in Texas for 5 years, and I knew plenty of people who were illegal aliens, but they were like working at restaurants. Thank you so much for the call, Cynthia. I just don't see why, even if it was true that like people have been busting from Panama, it doesn't scare me. It doesn't make me feel like there's some kind of issue. I just feel like it's either not happening and it's, you know.
I don't see that it's going to be military in the streets type of scenario. I don't see that. Maybe I'm playing a little bit ignorant to that, but I do think it's going to be a new sort of war of sorts, and it's not going to be as like violent as people
might
envision.
Maybe a cyber war, you think?
Yeah, I think that's going to be part of it, and it's like they'll attack people's like bank accounts and stuff like that, like on a massive scale.
But they can do that themselves. They don't need to buzz people in.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think. I just don't think like boots on the ground is going to be a scenario we see. And if it is going to be a scenario, it's because it's particular areas like maybe Baltimore or Minneapolis or something like that, where it's really heavy protests and like it just goes out of control.
Yeah, I feel like they do that themselves already.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Don't really make the news anymore.
They justify the state is like what I like to say.
I agree. In the same vein, there is a news story from ABC News. Apparently today, pro-Palestinian protesters disrupted Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. And I didn't hear about this at all.
I didn't hear about it either. Well, I
did.
But because I brought it in, but I didn't hear about it anywhere else on except through that.
So you went looking?
Yeah, so I had to go find it.
Yeah, it says protesters glued themselves to the parade route. That is shocking.
That is a little shocking. I mean, why would anyone want to glue themselves to a parade route?
It's been a trend with these, like, far lefties where...
Yeah, it's been a trend of the environmental protesters where they want to glue themselves to a runway in an airport or whatever.
Yeah, like they did it to like a gallery, like a maybe it was at the Louvre.
Yeah, but didn't they throw tomato soup at, or did they actually glue their hands to something? Maybe
well,
both.
I think that that painting was actually covered so that whatever tomato soup didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But it's just about the, you know, attention. And they got it because I paid attention.
Yeah.
And do I care? No, actually, I kind of support oil now. Thank you.
What did they glue themselves to at the Louvre? I think you're right, but I don't remember what
it
was.
To the floor, I think? Mm-hmm. It was just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They throw the tomato soup and then they glue their hands to the floor to try to get unable to get taken away. That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're going to get a little layer of your hand ripped off.
I do like how they get elaborate sometimes, some of these, like, tree huggers and the oil pipeline ones, where they made this, like, contraption where they handcuffed themselves, and then they plastered over it, and then they, like, sealed it inside of a box so that the government can't just, like, unhook them.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard for them to, like, get them out, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't like it.
I think it's funny.
I don't know if I like it either. I mean, it's funny. It's an effective way to protest. It's just not my method of protest.
Is it really effective, though? I mean, it's getting attention.
It's getting attention.
I think it's really, the soup thing really turned people against them. Like, personally, I don't care about the argument, like, PETA versus the world. But that made me have an even worse taste in my mouth for them, because it was like, you're going to try to destroy something beautiful and not yours just because some other people that are completely unrelated are killing cows.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, it is a little stupid.
It was not a good protest, in my opinion. And most people,
really
I feel like, reacted that way. But moving on to this pro-Palestinian protest at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, it says, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade was temporarily halted when a group of about 30 pro-Palestinian protesters ran into the street and apparently glued themselves to the pavement of the parade route in New York City. And I do want to say, Cynthia, thank you for calling, but we only do one call a day because it's just the only way that it'll work. It's the one rule we have on Free Talk Live. And if you had more you want to say about that, you can always call in tomorrow. And we
Saturday,
really appreciate
actually.
It. Oh, yeah, sorry, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's a pre-recorded show, but on Saturday. Thank you, Riley. It says, the protesters, these pro-Palestinian protesters at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, were demonstrating along 6th Avenue when a handful of them jumped to the barricades and ran into the street along 49th Street. Do you guys know exactly where it is? I know it's in New York City, but...
I don't know exactly where it is now.
It looks all the same to me.
Oh, it says here. It says Manhattan.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know much about it at all, or about the geography there. It says, the protesters were demonstrating along 6th Avenue when a handful of them jumped the barricades and ran into, the street along 49th Street. In videos posted online, protesters can be seen demonstrating on 6th Avenue near 34th Street. They chanted, no more nickels, not another dime, no more money for Israel's crimes, and I totally agree with that, yeah.
That's a nice chant.
I have a story for me, and we can get into next if you guys want, that talks about how Gaza is basically like the surface of the moon at this point and uninhabitable.
Oh wow,
yeah, it is bad. Yeah, it's in total rubble.
It also, another thing they were chanting, they were saying, free, free Palestine. So free, free, like twice.
Yeah.
They were also holding up Palestinian flags and papers that said genocide then, genocide now. And I got to agree that killing a whole entire ethnic group of people is genocide, whether you say, oh, well, they killed, what was it? I can't even remember, 7 civilians? Or am I wrong?
No,
is that really low?
It was definitely low. It was over, I think, around 2,000 or 3,000 people that got, Hamas killed.
Oh, well, I thought that... I guess I'm probably seeing some, like, maybe misinformation back and forth, but I thought that Hamas didn't kill very many people and that the Israeli Defense Force killed a lot of people.
It's hard to really know what's going on over there because I don't know who's telling the truth. And
that is true.
I really wish I could know who's telling the
truth. However, I have seen some pictures of Gaza, and it is completely destroyed.
Even if you can tell me that... There's no doubt in anyone's mind, everyone knows that Hamas, a terrorist group, came and killed 2,000 people in Israel. It doesn't defend absolutely leveling Gaza, a place
right.
that had...
Let's take out a bunch of innocent people now. Like, you know, maybe there is some aggressors out there that need some justice, but you don't take out a bunch of innocent people, women, kids, and innocent men, whatever. It's just terrible.
I'm going to look at the population of Gaza...
Probably 20, zero.
22, just so we could see it. 1.99 million. So that's how many people lived in Gaza.
That's a little over the population of New Hampshire.
Yeah, and are you going to tell me that it's totally fine to kill 1.99 million people, or at least
try to?
Because
yep, they want to eradicate them completely.
They're like changing the goalposts. They'll be like, all right, go south.
But, Bonnie, this argument's going on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Somebody's got to have some justice here.
I don't see how any of this is justice. Some people are saying, oh, well, you can't call a Gaza citizen innocent since they voted for Hamas, apparently, democratically. Well, there are babies. Babies aren't ever guilty of anything that their parents are doing. There are also, you know, like women who aren't voting. It's just absolutely ridiculous. There are just people... There are probably some people who voted for the other party. There are people who did vote for Hamas, but wouldn't have wanted them to kill 2,000 Israelites. It's just ridiculous. Like, the only people that are guilty of a crime are people who committed the crime, in my opinion.
I think anyone that joins into war is basically committing a crime.
Right.
Like, I don't think any war is good.
Yeah, I think... Killing in war is murder, and there's not some other word for it. Like, did you know that legally, if you kill someone during war, it's not legally the same thing as murder?
I'm not surprised.
I forget what. Ian was just telling me the other day, it's like something like military-induced killing or something like that. And not military, but...
They're all fodder, you know? And if you're a soldier right now and on the battlefields listening, you are just a pawn to the people up top. That's it.
They don't care about you.
Yeah, they really don't care
about
you.
They don't care who you are. They'll control your life.
Yeah,
you're just a drop in a bucket to them.
You're the pawns, like in chess. You're their dogs that they're sicking on their enemies, and they don't care about you, and you're not doing anything for the good of your family and friends at home either. Moving on, this story says, the protesters are later heard yelling, Viva, Viva, Palestine. Okay. I was going to say, isn't that Spanish, but whatever.
Yeah, this is a little strange.
Yeah.
I don't want to take sides in this war because, like I said, I don't know who the good guys are. So I'm not pro-Palestine, I'm not pro-Israel, but I do support free speech. And Viva Palestine, like...
Well, look, I believe in free speech, too. I just don't think that it's appropriate to take over a private event. Macy's, this big corporation, had the rights to that road
at
that time.
I don't know, they might have gotten just like a government permit. Like, Ian and I were walking around giving people, what is the word? They were secession pamphlets at this event that was going on in Concord one day.
Yep.
And a man came up to us and was like, we don't want you to do that here. We got a permit to do this event. And Ian just said, I don't need a permit to do this. So
yeah,
we don't
need permits to hand out flyers.
Or no, thank you. And I was like, when we left, I was like, Ian, you've never been sexier to me than when you told that guy you don't need a permit. So I don't know. I can't say whether or not this is a right or wrong thing to do for the protesters to be protesting at an event. I don't think it's necessarily private. They probably got a permit from the government. I don't know exactly.
It's really shut down. Macy's really takes over the whole area. So it's like...
It's probably annoying if you live there.
Oh, yeah, but that's what you kind of move there for, too.
Yeah.
You know?
You move there. You live in New York for the action, the glamour, the city that never sleeps, the enjoyment of it all.
And to get mugged? No, kidding.
And to smell pee on the subway.
Ew. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. But we do have a caller on the line. I'm going to go to Ricky from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Ricky, what's on your mind?
Thank you there, Miss Bonnie. And I believe that, is that Brother Riley?
It is.
And who would the other gentleman be?
It's Joe.
Pleasure, Joe. Been a while.
Yes.
Miss Bonnie, I got quite a bit to talk about, but I think you can bear with me. Now, you said something about the British, and that's going to come in. Now, a while back when I talked to Brother Ian that Thursday night, the night that the morning that Egypt and Saudi Arabia joined BRICS. Now, I'm going to rehash this a couple of points. I made a famous prediction. My prediction was, I got a reason for this. Now, my prediction was in 2025, around July, oil prices are going to go sky high, the biblical epic proportions. And then at the end of 2025, the dollar will fall. And by the end of the first quarter of 2026, we're going to become a third world country. Now, you made me think of something you said about the British. Now, I did my analysis of the players. I said the British have always been the placemen. You know what, Miss Bonnie? First of all, you may be very right. When we're in an economic oblivion, that might be a very good time for them to move in. And I'll tell you something else. I've been saying around to people around me, you know, first of all, Yahweh was wrong. That's number one. Number two, Netanyahu is going to have to give back the land. Number three, when this is all over, I see Palestine joining BRICS.
Okay.
I don't know. Will they still be around? Will they be completely genocided? Will they have, you know, the ability to contract with people like that? It seems like Israel's on route to just, you know, destroy them all.
I think Israel made it worse.
Well, we can't interfere because there'll be World War III.
Well, that's now, what they're leading to. We are getting involved. I don't say we. Don't put me in that we. But they're getting involved. They're doing it. It's escalating. And it's, yeah, maybe Gaza's gone, but these people are not. We've seen this in other countries where, you know, these generations are going to fight for their livelihoods back there. It's like a generational trauma. You know, it's like PTSD handed down to the kids, to the kids, to the kids. This is not going to end. Like, they've done some damage to humanity, and these people are going to retaliate. They're going to, what do you ever call it, maybe jihad. They're butts, you know?
Yep.
I do have one more important thing to say, Miss Bonnie. Now, I refrain from saying this on the air. Now, these three predictions, they will happen, and they must happen. It was a plan ever since Great Britain left the EU to protect the pound sterling. I wasn't going to say this on the air, but there's only one thing that the United States can do to stop these three predictions. And I'll tell you what it is. And I wasn't going to say it on the air.
Go ahead.
It's the worst players ever. It's going to be Russia, China, and Iran, and ourselves. And that's the United States start World War III. That's the only thing that will stop these three predictions. I promise you I'm correct.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Ricky. I don't know. I don't really have much to say about it. I'm not a fortune teller. I don't have my tarot cards with me.
Yeah, I don't have my tarot cards or crystal balls or things like that.
So. Well, you heard it here on Free Talk Live, Ricky's prediction.
Yeah, Ricky's right, then you owe Free Talk Live an AMPS membership. An AMP, it stands for Amplify, Market, Promote, and Support. And I'd like to thank Ken Covey, who is a gold-level amplifier with us at amps.freetalklive.com. That means that Ken is giving at least $10 a month to the AMPS program, and that means he goes on there and gets his perks and benefits for being an amplifier. And I'd like to thank you so much, Ken Covey, for being an amplifier with us. And if you would like to join him to support the show, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. So, yeah, if Ricky's predictions are right, you, listener, you owe us an amplifier membership.
I think that's a good deal.
Yep.
Good deal.
I mean, the world might be ending.
The win-win situation.
The world may be completely over if he's right, but either way, you still owe us. Officials said that the protesters were taken into custody at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Palestinian protesters gluing themselves to the ground. I'm trying to think of some sort of alliteration to write down when I have it here. I said, pro-Palestinian protesters pull, and I'm stuck there. I feel like Captain could do it.
Yeah, he probably could. He's like that.
Okay, so President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden called into the parade to give their thanks and urged Americans to come together.
Hmm.
We have to remind ourselves how blessed we are to live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, the president said. Today is about coming together, giving... Oh, wait, we live in Argentina? I'm just kidding.
It's funny because I'm looking up...
Javier.
Yeah, he's actually supposed to be visiting America.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Tomorrow.
That's crazy. I hope that's not when they kill him.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be weird because Trump is talking about visiting him.
Well,
which is weird because it's like Trump isn't really...
Trump believes he's the president still, so...
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yes. Sorry about that, President Trump.
Yeah. Don't kill us. I was joking about that being the greatest nation. They have hyperinflation, so there isn't the greatest nation on the face of the earth right now, I don't think.
It's not that I know of.
They said, today is about coming together, giving thanks for this country we call home. Jill and Joe Biden are saying this. And thanks to all the firefighters, police officers, and first responders, and our troops, and some of whom are stationed abroad. Yeah, and it's your fault.
Yeah, it's still their fault. They're making people fight in wars that... They're not going to fight themselves.
It's not hyperbole, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says it a lot.
Wait, who does?
Biden.
Really?
It's not hyperbole, either.
I hadn't heard him say that. That's so annoying. The first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade took place in 1927. It's been a holiday tradition ever since. I actually didn't think about it at all today until I saw Riley's show prep, but when I was growing up, my mom would always turn it on, and I did think it was fun, see Hello Kitty or SpongeBob, stuff like that. The floats they have are usually pretty good. I mean, I've never really cared much about the rest of it. There's always a bunch of liberal propaganda. At least that's what my parents would start saying.
I didn't watch any TV, but I did have a great view of a lake.
Oh, today?
Yes.
Nice. In New Hampshire?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, Lake Winnipesaukee.
Nice.
I've seen that lake one time ever, and it really is really impressive. Ian and I, sometimes the pictures pop up on my phone. We were just driving around there. We had dropped my friend off who was staying at an Airbnb in, I think it's not Grafton. It starts with a G, and it's up there. I almost want to say Gadsden or something like that, but it's not that. Over in the Lakes region, and...
Guilford. That's where I was.
And there was such a pretty view when we were driving past Winnipesaukee as the sun was setting, and those pictures still pop up on my phone. That is a really nice, pretty impressive lake, New Hampshire. More coming up on Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever's on your mind. You can tell us what you're grateful for. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
In a world where financial landscapes can change rapidly, safeguarding your savings and retirement accounts is paramount. Direct Bullion USA is more than just the number one rated gold bullion dealer in America. We're your trusted partner in navigating the uncertainties of hyperinflation and political upheaval around the world. Direct Bullion USA can provide you with the knowledge and resources to fortify your financial stability and protect what matters most. Call us now at 888-787-GOLD. Precious metals like gold and silver have been a safe haven investment for hundreds of years. Get started when you call Direct Bullion USA at 888-787-4653 and get your free gold investing starter kit today. All it takes is one call to 888-787-GOLD. Take control of your retirement and protect your future with Direct Bullion USA. Call 888-787-4653. That's 888-787-GOLD.